Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. So they'll come, April Murray Fogle, that's in about an hour, and then I think we got a guest lined up for the 11 o'clock hour, but that remains to be determined. Joining us now on the line, and speaking of last minute, we're very appreciative of his time, but he's en route to Birmingham. State Representative Danny Garrett, he's the chairman of the education budget in the House of Representatives. We're about to be underway here in just a bit in the legislature. It's early this year because of election year, but Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Before we get into the silly politics stuff, how you feel about Alabama? I know you're a regular attendee of football games here.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the victory from last weekend, and yesterday did a post. It's okay, fan. It's South Carolina week. Let's get focused. So pleased with the progress, but still in the stretch. So we'll see how we do.
It's quite a dramatic turnaround, from where we were about a month and a half ago. So, well, let's start here. And as I mentioned, session will be underway early this year. There's a lot of discussion surrounding education, and I think a lot of it's pertaining to school choice. But the big one, and you know, the unavoidable one, is the dust up between the legislature and the governor with the High School Athletic Association. Do you see that getting resolved in the short term?
I think the legislature is resolved to resolve it. Put it that way. I think we've are very disappointed in where we are. They're very disappointed in the position the Athletic Association has taken. And so I think that they've kind of doubled and tripled down, and I think the legislature believes that there's a better way. So I think we're going to take it head on and get it resolved one way or the other.
I'm still stunned about it. Like, how, you know, you just opt out of a law. And, you know, I think they had a lot of other avenues they could have pursued, the High School Athletic Association, if they didn't like the school choice law. But they chose it to do it this way, and that seems to have really kind of galvanized support against them.
Well, I think what they've done, they added, after we passed the CHOOSE Act, they added to the list of financial aid examples in their rules the CHOOSE Act. And by doing so, they set another bar that basically said if you take CHOOSE Act, or if you're using CHOOSE Act for any of your educational expenses, that's financial aid, and you have to sit out a year. And number one, it's not financial aid. I won't bore you with all the details. It's just not. I mean, it's not financial aid. It's a redirection of tax dollars that a parent is not getting right now for their child, or could, you know, if they're using CHOOSE Act money for private school or homeschool, that money's coming all out of pocket right now. All their tax dollars are going not for the education of their child. So it's not financial aid. And their view was that it's just like the Accountability Act, but it's not. The Accountability Act was a scholarship program where third parties contribute to a fund that's applied and got those scholarships. It's a different vehicle. So the easy fix was just remove CHOOSE Act from financial aid because you're technically incorrect, you're legally incorrect, you're legislatively incorrect, and they just refused to do so. And I think it boils down to the fact their central board had a majority of members who don't like the school choice bill, don't like the school choice concept. And they basically have taken the position that you say it's not financial aid, we say it is, and our rules trump the law. And that's just not the courts. So far, I've not agreed with that position. I don't think they ultimately will agree with that position. But I think if that's your position, then the legislature can fix that. We can address that.
And I know this is very
the easy fix was just remove the CHOOSE Act from that list because you added it after the act was passed.
Right.
The media has also tried to turn this into as if the legislature is trying to open up the door for transfer portal, NIL type stuff, and we're not. The specific reason we added the language in the CHOOSE Act to say it did not, that the CHOOSE Act did not circumvent or impact eligibility under the ASSAA rules was because we want those bona fide move rules to stay in place. Yeah, you know, we that was the clear intent. So the media is trying to spin this as if we're trying to open up that. That's not what we're trying to do at all. That we specifically address that in the law.
Well, is there a way, and this is very tangential to this discussion, but is there a way to keep it from being abused in a way that that would be sort of a transfer mechanism for, you know, high school athletes to move to other schools to play for other schools?
They already have rules addressing, you know, people moving one school to another, moving from private to public, and all that, and vice versa. Now, do they consistently apply those rules? That's up for debate. I think there's a lot of anecdotal stories out there where about, you know, examples of where they don't necessarily always adhere to their rules or not consistent how they apply those rules. But that's really not the point here. The point here is whatever their rules are, however they apply those rules, are not impacted by the passage of the CHOOSE Act. Because that's what we specifically said. We're passing the CHOOSE Act. This does not impact your rules. And then they came back and added, okay, fine, but we are going to add to our rules that the CHOOSE Act is financial aid. And that just set a new bar, a new obstacle, actually, for people, you know, who are utilizing CHOOSE Act funds, and which, again, are tax redirection of taxpayer dollars. And the other thing, too, was they didn't communicate this to the students until, like, the week before football practice. Now, they're going to tell you that, yeah, we added to the rules a year and a half ago. Well, they did, because the CHOOSE Act, you know, had a two-year lead time before it really got started. But nobody, those rules are not widely known, and they added that. Nobody knew it. And then all of a sudden, kids are practicing all summer, and the week before practice, find out, hey, you can't play because you're taking CHOOSE Act. You're in the CHOOSE Act program. If you're all about kids, you want to treat kids fairly, and certainly there's nothing about that. And, you know, I've been told, I haven't heard this from them directly, but it's been reported, and I've heard people say that they have communicated to people who are playing now under this temporary injunction where the court said that CHOOSE Act students were eligible to play, that they have communicated to people that if that is later not the court, anyone who's playing during that interim period under that restraining order would have to forfeit those games. Again, how is that about the kids? How is that even sane or reasonable or nice or fair or sportsmanlike? I don't get it.
Yeah, and so I guess the you know, there's already kind of a growing movement within your chamber, within both chambers of the State House, kind of wanting to, I don't know, for better or for worse, reform or crack down or put some guardrails in place with the High School Athletic Association. And you know, like, how far could that go? I think there's momentum there, but I don't know what that would look like. What would that mean? You know, how would that proceed?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, you're right. There have been, so over the years, there's been a lot of, again, anecdotal situations that are developed and that have caused some frustration among some of the members. But I'll tell you, this summer we had the SLC met in Birmingham. These are the Southern Legislative Conference. And at our committee meeting, all the states have to go around and talk about what's going on in their states. And Louisiana brought it up, but there were at least four states mentioned that they were having issues with their high school athletic association. And I think if you step back and say, why is that the case? I think it's because the educational landscape has changed. You know, used to, you had one model. Everybody went to the school or the district where you were zoned, and that was it. And then the private schools come out. They had to kind of, those boards had to kind of wrestle with, okay, how do we deal with private schools? And you had homeschool. But now you've got an educational landscape that is just very, very different. It's 21st century. It's got, you got virtual schools, homeschool, private schools. You know, you got a whole micro schools. You've got schools, kids going from district, one district to another, and within a district, and that kind of stuff. And the question is the old bureaucracy that's been around forever capable of handling the new education options, because people today in this world are all about flexibility, customization, and choice. And you look at that central board, they got 15 members, maybe one or two coaches on there. I don't know if any of those coaches are active. You've got a lot of superintendents and assistant superintendents, and you don't have any private, very limited private school representation, no homeschool representation, no virtual school, no micro school. So I guess what I'm saying is you the other states, I think, given the new landscape of education and what people are demanding and wanting for their children, I'm not sure that old structure is going to handle it. So your question is it ripe to look at a restructuring? Alabama's not the only state dealing with this type of stuff.
Yeah, and because you're right, it's changing, but we have like one sort of all. I guess we have two if you got the AISA, but it puts. I guess it's a centralization of the way high school athletics is organized in the state, and that's sort of the problem. I mean, and I saw a speaker about this. Is it maybe just a cultural thing where, you know, you have football coaches or basketball coaches or whatever that run this governing body, and it's just sort of their way or the highway, but that's just not how it works in public policy.
No, and I actually don't think you even have enough. I think if you look at the central board, it's mainly not even a lot of people involved in athletics. It's the principals and superintendents and others. So I don't know. I mean, but I guess, you know, landscape of athletics from the college level has changed. We certainly are not all happy about where that's going and where that's gone. But a lot of that's been is those issues are filtering down into the high school and middle school programs. And I think you've got to have people who are aware of all of that and aware of all the pitfalls, and you know, you keep their eyes on what the ultimate goal is, and that's the kids have a good athletic experience, but also that you have the rules and the boundaries and things like that. And the states have to come to agreement on that. I'm not confident at all. Basically, if no other reason, this CHOOSE Act, the fact that we basically, you know, the person who sponsored the bill, the person who wrote the law, the Speaker of the House, the governor's council, everybody has told these guys the intent of the law was not how you're interpreting it. You are misinterpreting the law. And the courts have even said you're misinterpreting the law. And they just like say, we don't care. Our rule is our rule. And so there's no accountability there. That's the problem. And, you know, we have no – so that raises other questions like who are the people – how much money do the people make that work there? Who are the people? How much money do they have? We have no accountability for that. But all their money is coming from the use of programs that are funded, you know, by the taxpayers. So it's just I think we're going to have to address this, and I think they've opened that door, and we're going to go through it.
Last question on this, and then this is sort of what they, you know, the pro high school athletic association people will tell you. It's almost like they're operating under a consent decree. They go back to the 60s when they had the merger of the segregated governing bodies, and that for that reason, it's beyond your grasp. It's that because this was established through a federal mandate or federal court's mandate that they operate in a different realm. But I don't know. I mean, that seems like a really risky strategy if that is their play.
Well, it's 2025. It's the 21st century. I just think that's surely they've got a better argument than that.
Yeah, and that's whenever this comes up, this is what they will say. Hey, we'll get you out of here on this real quick. And I saw this report from the school board talking about losing up to 5,800 students this year. You know, some say it's CHOOSE Act related. Public school students have opted to go to private schools. Also, you can hear immigration maybe being a factor here. And then the other one here lately, with the AEA saying, you know, it's homeschools and maybe we need to have some kind of a minimal reporting requirement. What do you make of it, and what are the consequences of this?
Well, we know that of the 5,800, that there were 3,000 that was CHOOSE Act. We know that. That's not a surprise. We expected that. I think that, I don't know what the final number is on the immigration issue, but that's certainly a factor, and that shouldn't classify as anyone else. Also, I think the fact that more people are choosing to opt for other options, whether it be private school or homeschool, should be a surprise to anyone. And I think that, you know, the demographics, as we move, I don't know what how the inflection point is on this, but as people, you know, as we move through time, people are having less children, and, you know, it's a different deal. So I don't know that's such a dramatic drop. You're certainly not going to lose 700 teachers. I mean, we have a teacher shortage in the state. So, and I've even talked to the Department of Education, that was misreported. It's not 700 teachers that you would lose. But, you know, if you look across the state, most districts saw small declines, 1%. You know, I live in Trustville, a growing area. We had a 1% decline in our enrollment. Now, that's probably maybe private school, maybe homeschool. It may just be the fact that people, you know, the number of children that live there. I don't know. But none of those things alarm me. But, again, our goal is not to protect AEA. Our goal is not to protect the status quo. Our goal is to provide the best education opportunities for our children. And the state of Alabama has been woefully at the bottom of all those rankings. So I'm not alarmed by that. And, you know, I want to understand it. But nothing about those numbers really alarmed me.
Representative, you're very kind to hop on this morning. Safe travels, and let's talk again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. That's Danny Garrett there. He is a lawmaker from Jefferson County and the chairman of the education budget. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Northern Bill can tell me stride. Bulldog the Mississippi. Fences down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat. Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...